Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Michael and Patty Show, where we bring you everything Prince Edward Island real estate and just stuff about PEI. I'm Michael.
And I'm Patty.
In this show, we're going to share with you over 41 years of combined experience, thousands of transactions handled, and we're not going to have any self-promotion. We're going to be transparent and tell you how the inner workings of the PEI real estate business works. In our opinions.
Yes, and 41 years of Prince Edward Island real estate experience, which I think has some value to the listeners who are considering Prince Edward Island.
I guess that would be like an auto mechanic with 50 years experience, but 49 of it's on Honda, but now they're working on Fords.
Exactly.
Good point. Not only does this podcast cover Prince Edward Island real estate, but it applies to pretty well any real estate in North America. The system's pretty well the same. So getting right into it, if you are looking for more information in addition to this podcast, we'll just quickly go over this. Check out our weekly newsletters, our YouTube channels, our Twitter feeds, Instagram threads, LinkedIn. I have designed a complete links page, which is on my website at michaelshomes.com. That has a lot of mapping utilities, government resources, tourist information. I would strongly suggest you check out that menu. Anything on your website that should check out?
Yeah, there are sites, even if you are an Instagram, social media follower, many of our sites have a link called Linktree, which has everything that Michael has mentioned, plus things like the Island Regulatory Appeals Commission schedule. So those who are looking to purchase land that may need executive council approval. All those extra additional links are on there as well.
So Linktree is what Patty has to have her links. And of course, the Government of PEI website is always helpful, gov.pe.ca and PEI Play. Enough of that. Let's get right into it. And we're going to start with a story, and then we're going to talk about why most real estate agents fail in this business. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
So incidentally, this episode, we recorded this whole thing a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't follow my golden rule, which I learned in technology, which is always have redundant systems. So we had, after recording 85 episodes, no problems at all. Episode 86, my phone blew up, it froze, it didn't save the episode, which was almost an hour long, and that was that.
That was very sad and painful to see.
So we've completely redesigned the mobile studio here. We now have a couple voice recorders, so we're not going to fail this time. We're getting this stuff out. So I'll tell you the story that we covered a couple of weeks ago and lost. But basically, this is a typical scenario that real estate agents will run into. And I thought of this when one of my friends in Ontario asked me, why are the commissions what they are? And I think what he doesn't understand, because he just thought you list a house, put up a sign and it sells. I don't think he grasps the fact that there is a lot of stuff real estate agents do that they don't get paid for that add up to many, many, many hours. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Just like, for instance, this morning, you filling out a form to dissolve a deal. You've already got many hours in that deal, and now you're spending more time to write up a form to dissolve a deal. So that's not going to go together.
And you're absolutely right. And then you have to hope that maybe perhaps these clients will end up finding another property to hopefully compensate you for all your time for offer property number one and then property number two.
So what happened to me is I had a cottage for sale, and we had an offer come in. And that offer wasn't a very good one, so we rejected the offer, and we sat and waited, because in my opinion, and my vendor's opinion, which are experienced at real estate, we felt that the worst thing we could do is go back to these people with any sense of being desperate for another offer. So we rejected the offer, we walked away, and we waited. And guess what happened just over a month later, Patty?
The seller chased you down?
We're representing the sellers.
Oh, the buyers came back.
The buyers came back. So we were pretty excited that we had another offer. My vendors, or I shouldn't say we, I was excited that we had another offer. my vendors didn't really want to deal with these particular people. They just didn't, it didn't feel right to them. But I did spend some time with them and I told them, let's give them the shadow of the doubt. This could turn into something. We don't have a lot of other interest in this particular property. It's fairly rural and not exactly in high demand at this time of year. So we spent probably a half an afternoon discussing our counteroffer to offer number two. We constructed it, put it on paper, we signed off on it, we sent it over to the other agent, and then we didn't hear anything. Guess what happened next, which we're all absolutely thrilled about, because the other agent representing the purchasers was on vacation with his family, taking away from his family time to negotiate this deal with the purchaser that indicated to him that they were super excited about this cottage and now they're ready to move ahead. So guess what happened?
I have no idea.
They drove by the cottage again, and then they decided that they didn't want it anymore.
Oh, I remember this now. Yes.
So here's a whole afternoon wasted because a purchaser instructed his agent to put a deal together, and then after all the time and money and energy was spent, him away from his family on vacation while he's traveling, which can be a difficult thing to do, writing offers while you're traveling, and me taking time away from my friends and family on the weekend, Mr. Purchaser decides to pull out. So neither one of us was thrilled. The agent wrote the purchaser a nasty email and swore at him. No, we didn't do that.
No, that's not good.
We kept everything very professional. But these are the sort of things you deal with. And in this particular instance, it would have made a lot more sense for that purchaser to be 100% invested in this transaction before he decided to pull the plug after wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, and that is something that the listeners don't understand, because there was also a situation with you, and I'll just give the summary of it, Michael, where you were showing a particular buyer. This was many years ago. I don't know, 10, 15 properties. They offered one at a time on, I believe there was five of them. Each of them failed at the home inspection, which then the contract agreement was terminated, went on to offer number two, offer number three, offer number four. After probably about two, when you think of a 40-hour work week, 1 to 2 weeks worth of your time and energy, this particular buyer didn't buy anything. And that's happens, not having five properties fail at a home inspection, but a lot of times you will spend a lot of time with your clients and then they change their mind, or they change their mind and they don't buy on PEI, they go to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, or their circumstances have changed with their employer and now they're not relocating after all. So there is a lot of time spent that we don't get compensated for. So when we do get a property sale that goes all the way to closing, it's a good day.
And it's probably a lot of time invested in most cases. And when you're dealing with buyers, take for instance that scenario you discussed, he had looked at probably 20 houses, offered on five, and because he elected to pick a home inspector that every property in his mind is ready to collapse or catch on fire, he ended up telling me, and you were with me,
yep,
that he was looking for the perfect house, which I told him, there's no perfect house. So you may as well just stop looking now, because it's unrealistic to think you're going to find a perfect house, particularly since you've elected to use this particular home inspector, which was not only inspecting the houses, he was also indicating that certain things weren't up to code. And code has nothing to do with an inspection, no more so than bringing your car in for an inspection and the mechanic telling you you should have Michelin tires rather than Goodyear, and you should have a V8 rather than a V6. He's there to inspect what's there, not to upgrade the car, or in the case of the home inspections, upgrade the house to current code.
Yes. So the point is, there is a lot of hours spent in our industry, in our business, that we don't get compensated for.
Right.
And in this case, it takes time away from family. And there's other things that we do. We are therapists in a lot of our clients', you know, lives. I have a client who is not on social media, and to try to sell their belongings in that, I'm helping them. I'm not being necessarily compensated for all of this. Hopefully one day, you know, they'll list their property and it will sell. But I've spent, while I was on holidays last weekend in Ontario with my family and friends, I've spent hours and hours so far trying to get all their items on Marketplace, answering inquiries. And these are just all the things that your realtor, a lot of us, go above and beyond and do for our clients.
Yes, I heard the word on the street is you're in the furniture business now on Facebook Marketplace. Patty had a client that she thought the client wanted her to throw a couple items on Facebook Marketplace for her. So Patty, being the nice person that she was or is, she said, no problem. Well, it turns out it's not just two items. It's her entire house inside and out. And I think it's a good little sideline for you.
I actually am very savvy now in Marketplace. I haven't really used it to the degree and the extent. So I do thank her for all this experience and knowledge that I have. It actually motivated me to clean up my house. And once I'm done this chapter, I will probably be putting some of my own items on now, because it is a really good tool to use as a little side note.
Oh, Facebook Marketplace is amazing. The car shows that I watched, because I'm a car enthusiast, brag and go on about Facebook Marketplace all the time. And as a shareholder of Facebook, and as you are too, we strongly suggest you use no other platform to sell your stuff. On to the second topic, which we mentioned with the first, is what is the average success rate of your typical real estate agent? This actually aligns perfectly with the average success of a small business. So this is the breakdown in Canada. It's not too different from the US. But they basically say that in year one, and I think this number is high, about 80% will survive.
That's not too bad. Those are good numbers.
Year two to three, survival drops to about 70%. And this, remember when you got into real estate, I told you the first 3 to 5 years is when 90% drop out. And after you make it past that fifth or sixth year, you're on your way to success.
Yes.
And it happened exactly like that, did it not?
It happened at the 5.5 year mark for me. I was—
So you're a little slow.
I guess I'm 5 to 6. I'm right in the middle, 5 to 7. Yes, I was about to get out of real estate, and the garden that I had planted started— it was like a switch had flipped. And I'm so grateful that I continued to show up every day as a realtor and believe not only in myself, but also my clients' loyalty, because it did happen. It did flip over for me.
It's a 3 to 5 year process in most cases if you're starting a brand from scratch. Year five, this is the make or break year, as we just said, 50% are still standing. And after year 10, that number plunges to about 30%. Again, all these numbers seem high, but these are the numbers according to the research I did.
That's in alignment with my class. That's approximately where
we
are at. My real estate class that I took in January of 2010, those numbers do pretty much align with that, my experience.
And the biggest reasons small businesses or any business fails, number one is always capitalization.
Yes.
No money.
Yeah, lack of money, funds to carry you through the low times.
Well, not just that, startup, everything, paying yourself a salary, paying for your groceries, your food, your fuel, your transportation. You need cash typically to run a business, whether you're producing that cash yourself or you have shareholders or whatever. You need to have some capitalization.
Well,
don't go into business thinking you're going to be cutting $10,000 checks to yourself twice a day in your first week of real estate.
But the other problem with that is, so when you first start, and I've seen this many, many times, I didn't take this route. However, many will say, when my business starts to take off, that's when I'll give up my job, my part-time or my full-time job. That is not a good plan and a good recipe for success at all. You're spending so much time in your workplace, in your job position, in order for your real estate— so the stats that Michael gives off here saying 3 to 5, and I've always believed it to be around 5 to 7 years before you really start to see or feel like your business is, you know, starting to have its momentum and rhythm. But if you don't do this full time, you've just extended that time period, Michael, and I don't think we've made that clear. So if you're trying to hold a full-time job, forget it. You're going to be one of the ones that end up just feeling like real estate's not for you. If you hold a part-time job, know that you've added a few years onto that time period of when the switch gets flipped. So these are stats. If you're doing this full-time and giving full-time hours, which is a minimum of about 40 hours a week like any other job, that's when you will see, hopefully, within your stats say 3 to 5. I always say 5 to 7 years.
These are just general business stats.
Yep, I agree.
Not my stats.
I know. Sorry.
No market need. Again, this is aimed at small businesses, but it's the same here. For instance, if I wanted to become the number one real estate agent in North America, specializing in yurts, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Yep.
I may or may not be successful depending on the yurt demand. Tell us what a yurt is because you're a local resident having listed one.
Actually, I know of a few yurts that I've been in. It is and I believe there's 8 or 10 sides to this. It's like a giant octagon,
octagon
or a hexagon. I know it's an octagon is 8 sides and a hexagon is 6. I do know this, Michael. And you can get them with solid sides. I just met with a client this last week who is going to be turning one into a year-round residence. But typically, you have like a canvas type.
Can it be circular?
Circular? Yes, I guess you
can
have a
circular. And what would you do if I told you that I was building a yurt and I wanted you to place the living room table in the corner? Let's move along here. Other things are marketing. You decide to become the yurt expert. How do you get to the yurt buyer? Or whatever you specialize in, whether it's waterfront, luxury, commercial real estate, farms, how do you get to those buyers and sellers in real estate? Lack of financial knowledge. You don't know your own numbers. And you've taught that 1,000 times over to know your own numbers, whether it's financial or whether it's how many calls you make or emails you send out or tweets you transmit. Know your numbers.
Yeah, know what your what your business conversion rate is. How much of your business is buyers? How much of your business is sellers? These are all things that you should know. How much are you investing back into your business every year? Or are you somebody that just keeps pulling out and expecting the business to grow and wondering why it isn't?
And lastly, what they have on the list here, and this probably applies to real estate more than anything, is burnout. The lack of ability of a real estate agent, particularly a new one, to control where they're spending their time, what activities they're doing. Because most real estate agents watch other real estate agents, and a lot of them are going to fail based on these stats. So they're reduplicating failure. And they're reactive and not proactive. So rather than creating a business plan and following it, they are sitting back waiting for the phone to ring or an email to come in, and they're reactive. An example of that might be, I have a property to list. It's in North Cape, which is over an hour from my office. And can you meet me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday? I'm meeting with 41 other agents.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm going to add to that is a lot, and I've sat in these meetings and listened to realtors say this, I got into real estate because I wanted to control my own schedule and make my own hours. That's fine. I understand. I've heard this. I don't debate it back. However, in my opinion, if you truly want to be a successful business owner, which you are in the real estate business, and your client would like to know as well that you take this very seriously and you conduct your day in a professional business manner, is you have a schedule. We have in our office called My Perfect Week. We record how much time we're spending in all the different activities that our business requires us to do. We keep track because this is a great business to look busy in and not make any money. So we keep track of our business activities and give ourselves, we have a point system. Again, it's just all fun stuff, but it actually materializes into productivity, better service to our clients and for, you know, the public. And again, it instills confidence to let them know, I'm not just here willy-nilly making my own hours and deciding when I want to work and when I don't want to work.
Moving along, commercial real estate.
Okay, commercial real estate.
Be aware of the sales data. And what I mean by that, with commercial, I'm just looking at my notes here. Commercial property example. Okay, so I was looking at a property. This is a few weeks ago, so I needed a refresher. The owner paid $405,000 for it, and now they're asking more than $1.2 million. This is 7 years later. My question would be, is it making triple the income? Will it appraise at the $1.2 million? Trying to finance a recreational property is very, very difficult, that in restaurants. So it's going to need to be appraised. You're going to need to get an AACI commercial appraisal done typically. So is it going to appraise for $1.2 million if they paid $405,000 7 years ago? What are the current sold comparables, which there basically wasn't any because this number was made up. But the most interesting thing I found is this purchaser sort of had an interest in the property, but the financials looked the same today as they basically looked 7 years ago, but now you're paying triple the amount for the property. So if you are looking at commercial properties, make sure that you understand the historical data as well. There are certain markets, particularly the West Coast, of both mainly Canada and the US, that values might be a lot higher, so your returns are a lot lower. That may not be and is not the case in PEI. You shouldn't see values triple in 7 years. That's someone dreaming that's probably may or may not be motivated trying to cash in on their purchase.
And our residential properties haven't tripled in value in the last 7 years.
Next, how do I get a moving discount?
If you can find, and I know it's not easy sometimes, to find a transport truck company, an empty trailer that's hauling goods, say from Prince Edward Island or the Maritimes to west of the Maritimes. And instead of bringing back an empty trailer, they can, from different provinces across Canada, end up having people who are relocating or moving to PEI, they can move their belongings at a discounted price.
So if you're moving from Montreal to Charlottetown, don't hire a mover in Montreal. Hire one in Charlottetown that's going to Montreal and returning with an empty truck. That's basically the bottom line. Sometimes you can get discounts up to 90%. I paid $800 to move here when I was getting quoted $8,000 from the local movers to come to PEI.
Yes, and it's not about not paying your movers either. So I don't want, they can call you, Michael, for your statement. But if you're looking to try to do this on a budget, just know that there might be other options, but there are also exceptional moving companies that they ticket everything. They have a complete spreadsheet list of items that they're moving for you. So there is value in moving companies 100%, especially if you have a lot of higher end items. But again, if you're looking for a discount, it's just a suggestion or a recommendation.
You're hiring an empty truck that would otherwise be costing them money to bring back to the province, whereas you're offering to buy that empty space and typically receive a discount because they're thankful for it.
But they may not assume the same amount of liability if there's any damage to your goods. So again, be aware of that.
So now we're getting into insurance liabilities.
I'm just making sure.
Let's move on.
Yes, I agree.
You can cover this one.
Check in to ensure that offer counters have been sent to the other
You've
side.
You've had this. This was over 2 weeks ago. We actually covered this podcast. But since we've covered this, just within the last 3 days, the same stupidity was happening.
Yeah, where an offer sent, the seller's not accepting the counter. And again, there's still so much confusion in our industry. So if you are the consumer, a client listening to this episode, please be aware that you as a buyer submit an offer. Now, it is courtesy for the seller to at least respond within the time period saying that we are considering your offer. We are not accepting it as it is. We are looking to counter. I just think that's common courtesy. So they don't have to counter within the time limit that has been specified within the offer. However, if you're going to accept it, you need to be signing it within that time period, because that buyer now is no longer bound to that contract. They're only committed to 6 p.m. tonight. You sign it at 6:30. They can actually move on regardless of you signing and accepting, unless that there's a clause or an agreement to rebind the contract. Now, in this case, if you're going to counter, regardless when, could be the same day, could be a month from now, you send off a counter, the seller sends off a counter. In this instance that we just had at our office, the agent and both agents were back and forth trying to come up with a mutually agreeable price, because the buyer wasn't agreeing to the price that the seller countered at. So the counter was countered, not good business practice, but in this situation, this is how this played out. The counter was countered only on the price. It took days, and we weren't even sure whether or not the counter was being received, the countered counter was being received by the seller. And it took 5 days to put this finally together, and it was still signed after the time period. Just very, very messy.
So once it's signed outside the delineation of the counteroffer or offer, and what I mean by that is we're making an offer on the property, we're leaving it open until tomorrow at 5 p.m., and then they sign it at 6 p.m., what should be done? And you don't see this being done in Prince Edward Island very often. In fact, I actually brought a clause in from Ontario that I use all the time, and I know
Yes. You've
ripped it off from me and claimed it as your own.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But you have to do what?
You have to rebind the contract. Both parties have to acknowledge and agree that notwithstanding the dates, the terms and conditions within this contract agreement are still binding.
Right. So they have to sign a piece of paper that says this agreement is still in force.
Yeah.
And they agree to the terms within the agreement. Otherwise, come moving day, the purchasers could say, we changed our mind and here's the documents and we didn't sign in time, so technically it's not valid. Whether or not a court would agree with that, because there's a lot of other legal things that play into this, we don't know, but it's best just to keep your documentation super clean.
And my recommendation is to do it in amendment form under the insert box, because it's referencing, rather than this random piece of paper or an email, it is an approved document within our association that references the contract and becomes part of the contract agreement.
Let's move into our new topic here, Real Estate Tech Corner. Have you checked out garage door openers recently?
Yes. I've had quite a bit of experience with garage door openers.
You wouldn't figure that in the last, I think, I was looking at replacing a 26-year-old garage door opener that you could hear from down the street. It sounded like a nuclear power plant or a coal factory was starting up. Could be replaced with a garage door opener today, which are so quiet, you don't even know your door is being opened. And not only that, they've got cameras on them. They interface to Wi-Fi. You can interface your doorbell camera to your garage door opener. You can integrate it with Amazon. Integration, auto close. It's just absolutely blows my mind how much stuff you can do with a garage door opener. You can control them with your phone. You can see if your car is in the garage or who stole it. It's just amazing.
Well, and on that note, Michael, again, when we had first recorded this, we didn't have this story. It is so quiet that your story of tapping the garage door opener by accident and your beagle getting out and walking down the street, which you didn't even recognize at first. That's how quiet the garage door opener was. You weren't even aware.
What happened is I was in the truck. I was cleaning it or moving stuff around. I touched the garage door opener button by accident. Next thing I know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this beagle walk by, thinking, geez, one of the neighbors let their beagle out, because they all kind of look the same.
They do.
Only to realize it's my beagle. It was Odie, and he was going on a casual stroll as the garage door was completely open, so I had to redirect him home. He was just having a great time, and interestingly enough, following the sidewalk as we would normally do in our walks.
So that's how quiet this garage, the garage door openers, and how advanced the technology has gotten with these particular items.
Average age demographic on PEI and other island fun stats. Age demographics in PEI, the median age in PEI as of the 2021 census is what?
Well, when we did this the first time, I thought it was 42, and it is 43.2 years.
And notably, for the past 4 years, there have been more islanders ages 20 to 39 than those aged 40 to 59, a trend not seen since 99. So what would you attribute that to? Me, it would be less retirees and more immigrants.
Yeah, it is the migration of, I think, a lot of immigrants in that coming and making Prince Edward Island their home. There's a lot of really talented youth that are setting up businesses and that here on PEI. It's interesting to see how the island is changing and evolving.
Population growth. PEI's population was estimated at 179,280 as of January 1st, 2025, marking a 1.7% annual growth rate. And you can feel it. This is the fourth highest among Canadian provinces and territories, keeping in mind that province of PEI is pretty small, so it doesn't take a lot of people to change that percentile. I'm not going to cover all of this, but it's just interesting to see the island grow. That's fantastic. You're going to cover what remedies can be taken when you're trying to sell a house that smells like smoke, because you had that a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did. And we called in a home remediation.
I have a remedy.
What?
Buy another house.
I understand that once somebody has smoked in their home, and I'm not talking lighting up a cigarette, but insistently and consistently smoking inside the home, you may not notice it if you're the smoker, but those of us who do not smoke and have never smoked, it is so strong inside these homes, and it's not just on the walls or in the ceiling. It actually gets inside the baseboard trim. It just absorbs everything. And a remediation company had to be called in. They spent 3 days trying to deal with this. They still couldn't get the smoke smell out. That's after washing the walls, repainting.
Well, you have to use a special primer, and then you have to paint over that primer. That primer is designed to cover that smoke smell.
Yes. However, it's also in the trims, it's in the door, and this particular home, everything had to be stripped
down. So just go in there with a giant spray bomb.
That is, but again, it seeps in behind. So bottom line, don't smoke. It is thousands and thousands of dollars. I've had one house that it cost approximately $12,000-$13,000 to try to deal with the smoke remediation.
Let's talk about unique requests received over the years when looking for PEI real estate. Now, I get this all the time, and I know Patty does, where we get people, and they'll say, I'm looking for a house with a country view. It's facing south that has birch trees in the backyard, 3 outbuildings, a barn, and a stream running through it, which there's no real check boxes for all of those on our system. So that's a difficult thing to set up. It's something we can't really set up on the MLS. But Patty has a few little tidbits here she's going to go through about things that people have asked for from real estate agents when they're looking for properties that chances are we can't do a search for, which means either you or we have to go through things manually to qualify these properties.
Yeah, and that's not so easy a lot of times, especially if the buyer is not on island and they're relying on the realtor to go through this list themselves. So if you're on island, it's in your best interest to do your own due diligence, drive by them, check things out. So one has no neighbors. I've had people that say, I don't want to see my neighbors. I don't want to hear their lawnmower going in the summer. Like, I want to be completely isolated from society. You've got here within the notes, within at least a kilometer. They want peace, quiet and possibly to start a cult or an alpaca farm. Pretty funny, Michael. Has oceanfront, forest, a river, rolling hills, and is under $100,000. That is not an easy find.
One of the things that happens in real estate when you're a new agency, you will get people asking for properties in price ranges that are completely unrealistic. But since you as an agent are new, you're trying to find them that golden goose for that bargain price, and it just doesn't exist under most circumstances. So you need to just tell them, it's unrealistic.
Be honest with them. Even if you're not knowledgeable and you're trying to comb through, hopefully you have someone within your office that would be able to give you some advice and some, you know, tips. Is this a realistic expectation of these buyers? Do you feel I could find something? And a lot of times they're looking in areas that it is completely unrealistic. What you have with regards to this under $100,000 is the holy grail of real estate right next to the unicorn stables. Next has a clear view of the stars for my observatory. I have clients who ask for dark skies and they want to make sure that they can do their stargazing. And it's really hard to do because there's so much development that we have street lights and people's lights. Is there something you wanted to do?
Let's go through a lot of these a little quicker because we've got a bunch of other topics to cover. Asking us if it's haunted. Good ghost stories. Can support a small animal sanctuary, but not farming. Is there a key line on the property? This is the one you asked about. Apparently, some buyers want to be aligned with mystical energies while they grow kale. Would that be you?
No.
I'm looking for a place with Anna Green Gables vibes. Can I build a yurt? Why does the yurt keep coming up? Tiny home, cob house, treehouse legally. That would come back to our discussions previously on restrictive and protective covenants. You want to get those?
I don't want to see windmills from my kitchen window. I want red dirt, but not too much red dirt. Must have a storm cellar that's tornado ready. They want off the grid, but with fiber optic internet. Good luck with that. Looking for a bug out location with a well, solar potential, and natural spring. Bonus is if it includes a bunker or a zombie, is zombie proof for the apocalypse that people worry about is coming. Island quirks. Can I get to this island by kayak year round? PEI has a few offshoot islands and some brave buyers want exclusivity and frostbite. I want to live next to a lighthouse, but I don't want to see it. Sounds like a metaphor, but nope. Just being picky. Honorable mentions. Am I to read this?
Dark skies?
Yeah, we already covered. And striped bass fishing is
something. Oh, yeah. So many people have asked us about the fishing locations and what kind of fish are in the pond and stuff like that.
We have at our office.
So we usually just refer them to someone that's into fishing.
Absolutely. Or what we did at our office is we referred to a fisherman, the fisherman that we know within our communities, and said, where do you recommend the waters around Prince Edward Island would be best for this? And it was fishermen that gave us the few locations. So it's not just realtors having to know all of this. It takes a community. And again, PEI, such a special place. We all came together and we did help narrow down these particular buyers' search.
Seller says after they receive an accepted offer with conditions, they would be like home inspection, financing, septic inspection, and so forth. Aren't we going to be losing time on market while these conditions are being fulfilled? How would you answer that?
So these are just standard conditions that...
Right. So when you receive an offer, there'll be the conditions, and then that property would get marked as conditionally sold. Some agents will leave it on as active, depending on where it is. Technically, it's supposed to be conditionally sold, but their question is, are we going to be losing time on market? In other words, can we not have any showings? Can we not receive offers? Of course, the offers would have to be contingent on the first offer dying.
Yes. So in this instance, the conditionally sold message is for the realtors on the backboard. That doesn't get publicly announced on realtor.ca. Now, those who are working with a realtor and they have what's called a collaboration site search set up, You will also be privileged to seeing if there is a conditional offer status on a particular property. Now, the benefit to having, you know, your property under contract is you have an interested buyer. It's something every active listing out there is waiting for. So yes, you have to allow the opportunity for the buyer to do their due diligence to make sure this is the property that they're interested in. However, the property should, again, it is up to the seller, should and can still be shown. It is open still to be receiving potential backup offers. So if offer number one doesn't go through, then you have an offer number two already lined up. The benefit of putting in a backup offer, if you're really interested in it, is just in case there's a few buyers that have all surfaced around the same time as this property going under contract, because that's usually the case. We were just about to put in an offer and now it's under contract. You may save yourself going into a multiple offer if the property's offer number one doesn't come together. So there's some benefits.
And the other advantage to having an offer on your property with contingencies is everybody else wants what everybody else has. So when they hear there's an offer with conditions, they're more likely to come in with an offer that's clean and free of contingencies in order to get that house. A lot of times hoping or asking the sellers to hopefully bump buyer number one if they become difficult and try to use the home inspection as a leverage tool.
Yes. And a question,
based on deficiencies.
Correct. And a question that I received actually in the last couple weeks is, what if we offer more than offer number one? Can we bump it?
Yes, you always get that.
Yes. And the answer to that is no, you can't bump it. Once a seller and a buyer are under contract, they're locked in. The best you can do is put in a backup offer or wait and see what happens. Should you...
Putting in a strong offer would make the vendors or the owners of that house more inclined to get rid of offer number one. And there is another way you could go about this. You could offer to buy the contract off of buyer number one, providing you have consent from the homeowners.
Yes.
And I've done that in the past where a buyer paid, whatever, $10,000 to buy that contract. And then buyer number one said, fine, you can have it. Took their 10 grand and they're happy.
Okay. Well, just for clarification, when Michael said that the seller may want to bump offer number one, what that looks like, sellers, you cannot just bump an offer. If the buyer of offer number one requires or requests an extension and you have this really attractive backup offer in place, you are less inclined to accommodate offer number one to, yes, you can have an extra week extension on your financing. Yes, you can have a couple extra days to bring in an electrician or whomever else you see fit. If you have a very attractive backup offer, you'll probably end up just saying to offer number one, that is the terms of your conditions. If you can't meet the deadlines, then we are probably going to kick you to the curb and move on with the second offer.
What typically happens is buyer number one is going to have a home inspection done. They've been watching HGTV. They're going to use that as a negotiating tool. They're going to go to the owner and said, we want these 45 items fixed or we're walking away. This is a great opportunity to bump or get rid of buyer number one to put buyer number two in place, assuming their offer is clean without contingencies, which is what hopefully any experienced agent would get if the purchaser is comfortable with that.
Correct.
If the purchaser is not comfortable with that, it sort of defeats the whole purpose because they're not going to kick buyer number one if they have a lousy contract or one with a bunch of holes in it for another contract with a bunch of holes in it.
Yes, and also know just because a backup offer is, say, due today's the 25th by 5 o'clock tonight, the seller controls the rules of the game here. We work for the seller. We work for our clients, but the seller controls it. So if the seller wants to give offer number one an extra couple days or an extra week, because I just went through this and my buyer clients were a little upset going, what are they doing? Why are they allowed to do this? Well, they are allowed to extend a contract if they want to give them extra time. It just bumps our backup offer dates and we're going to have to do up some paperwork to put everything back in alignment.
Can the purchasers terminate the deal if the home inspection clause fails? In other words, they get the home inspection, they don't like the looks of it, which is many home inspections. Can the purchaser terminate the deal at that point, and where does the deposit go?
100%, they can, because of the way our clause is written, they can cancel that contract and they don't have to provide reason. They're just deemed not satisfied with the home inspection. I'm in this situation right now. You have to fill out what is called a mutual release so that the buyer and the seller both sign and acknowledge and accept that this contract agreement is now terminated and is null and void. The deposit is returned to the buyers full without interest or penalty is how this should be carried out.
The vendor could try to negotiate with the purchasers to keep the deal on the table, but you've had instances where they're irreconcilable. In other words, they had asbestos, they had the septic system wasn't worked, the roof's caving in, the electrical panel failed. Like there's just so many things that the vendors aren't willing to fix all that stuff.
Or is not.
Or produce a discount.
Correct.
Cool. There is a pre-close inspection, the vendor asks. Maybe you can explain a pre-close inspection to us and if every offer has one.
Yes, actually, they do. It's called a pre-view closing or pre-close viewing. It is on our agreement of purchase and sale clause number 2. It allows the opportunity for the buyers. Now, this isn't just for residential property, and I'll explain this in a sec, but it's an opportunity for the buyers to be able to go through the property, make sure it is in the condition that they deem acceptable or in the condition that they agreed to purchase it in. There's no new damage. Everything that was part chattels, that was part of the initial agreement of purchase sale, because sometimes this is not just only 2 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks. Sometimes this is a closing is 3 months later after all the conditions have been removed. And when you get to that point, you know, you want to make sure that the house is still intact. So you get to go through. I like to do my pre-close viewings the morning of closing, because once I lock those doors, hopefully before 5 o'clock on that closing day, that the funds are exchanged hands and everything closes and my buyers are the next one to walk into that home and I don't have to worry about it being left empty or vacant or anything happening. But once the pre-close viewing happens and everything is deemed acceptable, the buyer has to call their lawyer and say, the property is in the condition I agreed to purchase it in. Please go ahead and proceed with closing, which can take 2 to 4 hours typically minimum, depending on where the funds are, if they're still with the lender or if we're in a different time zone and that's where the funds are. If it's land, I still recommend, especially if it's, you know, not just a fully treed lot or if that's what you want. I've had properties where neighbors have gone in to maximize their view, have cut out a, you know, couple dozen trees because they found out that this property was closing. And they seen it as a golden opportunity to quickly remove a bunch of trees to maximize their water views. And that was a very painful closing. So our garbage gets left on the property. Somebody dumps their boat. I've had a whole bunch of crazy things can happen. So your realtor should, if it's a piece of land, just take a drive-by, make sure everything looks intact. No one's gone ahead and done any left a bunch of garbage and stuff that your client's going to end up purchasing. Or again, if it's a residential, you usually do end up going through or your agent on your behalf with a FaceTime.
The purpose of a pre-close viewing is to make sure that the property complies with the purchase and sale agreement in that it is in the same condition as it was when the contract was written. And those things that are to be included are there and the property hasn't been damaged. One last thing, and we'll get Patty to wrap it up here. It's June, and you can put those winter pictures away. If you're wondering why your house hasn't sold, it might have to do with a foot of snow being in the driveway, or if you took the pictures maybe in January, February, March, there's no leaves on the trees, the grass is mud. This is not a good presentation when it comes to June. Would you agree or strongly agree?
I strongly agree. So if you're a realtor listening, and you've listed the property during the first quarter or so of this year, update your property taxes. They are now on GeoLink and update your photos. It's just best business practice. Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Michael and Patty Show, otherwise known as MAPS. the PEI podcast that helps guide and navigate you through the buying and selling process and everything Prince Edward Island. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we highly recommend and suggest that if you do have stories or questions, please submit them. I've got a few that are going to be coming, and I really greatly appreciate the interest in that and doing that.
And be sure to follow or subscribe to the show. Give us a 5-star rating, some feedback. And if you have some extra time, be sure to listen to the past 85 episodes at least 3 or 4 times each. Thanks again and have a great day.
Have a great day.